review is over. Pick it up here. Sagittarius focuses in on the centaur with the arrow drawn and a bow in it. Remember Revelation 6. In this book I've written no, no, no on the one paragraph I have to quarrel with. He is not. The centaur does not symbolize Revelation 6 because that's Antichrist. A bow with no arrow. The centaur has an arrow. And the sign Sagittarius, 69 stars. Am I boring you? 69 stars, 5 of the 3rd magnitude, 9 of the 4th. In the sign Sagittarius, we again have the figure of a centaur, indicating the double-natured seed of the Virgin, the Son of God as the Son of Man. The figure is that of a mighty warrior with a bow and arrow riding forth majestically. The barbed arrow. Now, if you'll look close, you'll notice that as we moved around the constellation belt, previously we were over here, back off a bit, and you that are looking on radio, if the pictures were side by side, previously would be over here where my hand is. Because in an earlier picture where my hand is, we had Ophiuchus wrestling with the serpent, and he had one foot lifted that had been stung by the tail of the scorpion, and another foot on the heart of the scorpion. Well, here is the scorpion's tail, and here is that foot that was stung. Right here. See that? Come in a little closer so you can get it, Larry. There's the foot. There's the tail of the scorpion. Now back off, Larry. Which means that if I had both pictures side by side, where my hand is here would be the scorpion, and up here would be the man wrestling with the serpent. Now we've moved on over to the centaur, and the reason I want to point that out, the foot, get my whole hand in, the foot of Ophiuchus wrestling with a serpent is right down here on the heart of the scorpion. Remember that? This arrow is pointed straight at that same heart. As one of the symbols has his foot on that heart of the scorpion, in this case, the two-natured being, 5 of the bright stars, 5 of them of the 3rd magnitude are in the bow, and the arrow is pointed straight at the heart of the scorpion. This conflict, which Paul calls the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, is focused in every case. The psalmist wrote of this archer, "But God shall shoot at them with an arrow, suddenly shall they be wounded." In Hebrew, the name of this constellation is Kiseth, which means the archer. In Arabic, the name is Al-Kaus, or Al-Kaus, meaning the arrow. In Hebrew, the names of the two brightest stars are Naim, which means the gracious one, and Nahushla, meaning the going or sending forth. Under this constellation, in the ancient zodiacs of Egypt, is the word Knim in hieroglyphics, which means he conquers. According to Greek myths, Chiron, the most famous, or Chiron, the most famous of the centaurs, was the great teacher of mankind in heavenly wisdom, medicine, and all noble arts. He is the one who voluntarily gave his life for another. You know your mythology, know that. The Hindus, and as I've often said, just about every religion has, and every cult has truth at its heart, taken out of shape. The Hindus, although lacking understanding of the promised seed of the woman, did recognize the nature of the meaning of this constellation of the centaur. In the Indian sacred books, there is a 10th avatar predicted when Vishnu, the second in the divine triad, is to come as a man on a white horse, overthrowing his enemies, rooting out all evil from the earth. This archer is at war with the scorpion. As Ophiuchus, the man wrestling with the serpent, was crushing the heart of the scorpion, naming its ultimate outcome, though bruised on the heel by the same scorpion, holding the serpent until it couldn't get the crown. As Hercules is victorious, winning, the centaur is fighting the scorpion and is victorious. With Sagittarius, the centaur, are three decans. As always, each major constellation has three decans that elaborate its truth. The first decan of the centaur is the lyra or the harp, but it's usually pictured as a harp and eagle combination. And there's your picture. It consists of 43 stars, one of the first magnitude, one of the third, five of the fourth, eight of the fifth. Modern atlases depict the figure in this sign by an eagle holding the harp, or a harp placed over an eagle, representing triumphant song springing from the eagle, the vanquisher and destroyer of the serpent. In the older zodiacs, the constellation is marked by the figure of an eagle who darts forth upon his prey from the heavenly heights with great suddenness and power. I could go on and give you all kinds of verses on that. Lyra contains one of the most superb of all the first magnitude stars. Its name is Vega, which means he shall be exalted. Now, isn't it like commercial America to name one of the dumpiest cars after the greatest star? Vega, which means he shall be exalted. Its actual magnitude is probably 100 times that of our sun. Now, you that know the precession of the equinoxes, at a given moment, you sight the pole star in, and it's as though the sun is moving back through this constellation, and because of a wobbling in the Earth's axis, a certain polar star at a certain position, it takes 25,000 to 28,000 years of the movements of these heavens for that star to be in the exact same position again. So as it takes 365 days for the Earth to go around the sun, 365 and a quarter, and sight in on these constellations at various points above and below that equatorial celestial equator, the total movement within the heavens in the wobbling of the Earth as it goes around sights in on a different star as the North Star. Right now the polar star is the North Star. You sight through the poles of the Earth way off out there into the heavens, and a certain star is right there. Polaris is it now, though it's a little off center. 14,000 years ago, assuming these bodies have been moving that long, and if God put them in orbit just bang 7,000 years ago, which he didn't, by the way, because he was brooding over the Earth for centuries before he recreated it, but if 7,000 years ago, as some want to believe, he just spoke and it was all there, and I believe he spoke and put it going, but I think it was a little longer than that, he timed it in such a way that if it had been at the rate it's now going, 14,000 years ago, Vega would have been the North Star. 11,000 years from now, Vega will be the North Star if things don't change. Right now, Polaris is it. When the pyramid was built, Draconis was in that position. You see, this whole thing's going around. I've got a picture here. Cap does a pretty good job of showing these things. He does good diagrams. Yeah. When you get this book on Sunday, study this diagram. It will help you notice. If you can zoom in a little closer, you'll see he's got it mapped out when Vega was the pole star because the earth was tilted in a direction as it went around the sun. And as it's been making its trip, Polaris is now. This one over here is the way we're positioned now as we go around the sun. And the pole of the earth is pointing to Polaris. But in the precession of the equinoxes, because the earth doesn't just go around the sun and spin on its pole, what it does is it wobbles. So that at different times, during the 25 to 28,000 years, it's pointing a little different direction as it goes around the sun with its pole. So right now, the pole is pointing at Polaris. 14,000 years ago, the earth went around the sun all right, but it was pointed away that made the pole star be Vega. And 11,000 years from now, if it keeps going the same way and tilting and wobbling, it'll be pointing toward Vega again. Cap's got nice little diagrams. Now, two other conspicuous stars between the fourth and fifth magnitudes are Shalyuk, which means an eagle, and Sulafit, which means springing up or ascending as in praise. You don't have to check all these. I have. That's why I have all these other books and etymological roots. This is one of the finest little summaries that I know of. And I'm going to give it to you Sunday because I think you ought to have it. The placing of the harp, the oldest of stringed instruments. You want proof of that? The oldest of stringed instruments. And we're having fun. And Lamech took unto him two, unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada. Chapter 4, Genesis. By the way, this is a different Enoch. This is the Enoch that's the son of Cain. Ada begat Jabal. He was the father of such that dwell in tents. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. Boy, that's a long ways back. I mean, that's quite a ways back that they were playing the harp. That's interesting. The placing of the harp, the oldest of stringed instruments following Sagittarius, connects preeminent gladness, joy, delight, and praise with the actions of this great archer with his bow and arrow. Thus he appears in this sign, answering to the Lamb as John held him in the fourth and fifth chapters, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. So here is the centaur at war, aiming at the scorpion. Associated with him is the harp and the eagle together. The eagle pouncing on the prey with the harp of joy. I rather like that. Beating the hell out of the devil, diving on him with the eagle's claws, and playing the harp while you do it. Oh, I like that. I mean, at least the stars know what to sing about. That's something to sing about. Also with Sagittarius or the centaur, Ara, the altar. It consists of nine stars, three of the third magnitude, four of the fourth. Now nearly all the star charts show the figure of an altar covered with burning fire to denote this constellation. The fire is burning downward in this case toward the lower regions of darkness called Tartarus, known as the outer darkness, the area toward the covered and invisible south pole. The word Ara was sometimes used by the Greeks to imply a curse or the effect of a curse, ruin and destruction. In the zodiac of ancient Egypt, the figure is different but carries the same basic idea. There we have in ancient Egypt for Ara, a throned human figure wielding a flail over a jackal, the unclean and cunning animal of darkness. And the jackal also identified with the dragon as being threshed and bruised and punished and brought under dominion and judgment and pushed into fire. This constellation symbolizes coming judgment, the burning pyre that is aimed toward, downward, the ultimate judgment of the dragon, cast, beaten, bruised, cast down into darkness and into fire. Let's keep going, and I'll summarize it. The third decan, we're in the constellation of Sagittarius, which features the centaur with the arrow, the two-natured being, victoriously into victory with an arrow pointed at the heart of the scorpion. Associated with him is the eagle pouncing with the harp, symbol of rejoicing. Associated is the altar of death. Now, an altar has come to mean only spiritual things. An altar also became a place where curses, it was a place of meeting God in covenant, and it became a witness to where you would sacrifice and pour downward. The flames of the burnt offering would ascend upward, but the blood of the sin offering was poured downward onto the ground, associated with the centaur, or the symbols of the eagle coming in victory, the harp of joy at that victory. The better symbol is the most ancient one of ancient Egypt, where the victorious one is beating the jackal and driving him into the flames, but an altar that empties its flames downward into darkness. The last decan is Draco the dragon. It streams across the sky, as you see from this picture. Once more, we come to another symbol of Satan, the enemy. From earliest times, the scorpion, the serpent, the dragon. The figure of this constellation is a great serpent wound over at least half the northern sky. It consists of 80 stars, 4 of the second magnitude, 7 of the third, 10 of the fourth, and so on. His tail alone extends over the territory of a third part of the stars. The Greek name Draco for this sign means trodden on. Now, the first prophecy of Scripture, Genesis 3, says that the seed of the woman will tread on the serpent. From furthest antiquity, this serpent is named the trodden on. In the zodiac of ancient Egypt, this sign is shown as a serpent under the forefoot of Sagittarius. I also want you to notice that in the arrangement of the sky, he's under the foot of Hercules. That's Hercules right there. From a previous constellation, that's the foot of Hercules right over the head of the dragon. The most prominent star, well, wait a second. In the zodiac of Egypt, this sign is shown as a serpent under the foot of Sagittarius and is named Herfint, which means the serpent accursed. The most prominent star in one of the coils is named in Hebrew Thuban, which means subtle. And as you look at the whole, I wish this were on radio, but you'll have the book next week if you show up at the king's house. In one of his most prominent coils, the bright star in this serpent is Thuban. That star means, in Hebrew, the subtle. One of Satan's name is the subtle one. Thousands of years ago, Thuban, as Polaris, is now the North Star. And Vega would have been the North Star 14,000 years ago. It won't be, I can tell you for sure. 11,000 years from now, because God's going to rearrange after the millennium new heavens and new earth. But going backwards, 14,000 years ago, Vega would have been the North Star. Either at the time the pyramid was built, or the pyramid was built to make this fixation occur, the descending passage of the pyramid, you could go down that passage to the bottom, and whether it was daytime or nighttime, you could see Thuban. When you're down a passage that perfectly aligned, that deep in the pyramid and that pitch darkness that shuts out the sun, you can see the stars. How many of you know that? Thuban was lined up. Not now. At the same time that Thuban was lined up, Draco, right out in that constellation of Draco, until that star was zeroed in the center of the descending passage of the pyramid, you go so many inches in, pyramid inches, and the scored lines line up perfectly with the Pleiades, which we haven't talked about yet. And it's that crosshair configuration that pinpoints the dating system in the pyramid, which said pyramid showed a full knowledge of the layout of the skies, the heavens, the universe, and the earth in its measurement, size, dimension, and distances. Fixed in stone the distance between the earth and the sun in those ancient days. Outlined God's prophetic plan and is aligned next to the Sphinx that gives the key to interpretation. Start with Virgo and end with Leo. And perfectly aligned to the Pleiades that we haven't talked about yet, and Draconis, the one star Thuban. This star, now below the third magnitude, is believed to have once been as bright as Polaris. A bright star on the head of the serpent is named Ethanin, which means the long serpent, the dragon. It's way down here in the head of the dragon, Ethanin. Now, you can probably take this book, take a trip up here to an observatory in the Los Angeles area and get lined up on the skies, and you'll be able to follow this. I wonder if they'd let me do a festival up there. Suppose they'd let us go up there and do a festival. Somebody ought to check into that. A bright star in the head is named Ethanin, which means the long serpent or dragon. Another bright star also on the head is called Rastaban, meaning the head of the subtle. In Arabic, it is called Al-Wa'id, which means who is to be destroyed. The Hebrew names of other stars and their meaning are Grumian, the subtle, Gianzar, the punished enemy. The Arabic names of the stars in Draco have similar meanings. To name a few, Al-Dib, the reptile, El-Atik, the fraudful, the cunning fraud. El Asiya, the bowed down. Draco thus represents the sly and creeping deceiver. The devil called the dragon, that old serpent, he destroys by stealth, smoothly gliding to betray, giving his poison. Mythology says the dragon is the power that guarded the golden apples of the famous Garden of Hesperides. Nothing other than a symbol of the tree of life. Perverted in mythology to have him guard it, in order that the symbol of Hercules, who was made into a human demigod, could defeat that dragon to get that apple. But Hercules is Christ, and dragon is Satan. Now let's put them all together again. That message in the stars, again, I don't expect you to remember this detail unless you want to become an amateur astronomer, and there are some good books I could recommend. But God had a message that's been distorted by heathen who were outside the stream of God's oracle. That's why when Paul talks about the Jew not having any special place of righteousness, he says, well, does that mean they had nothing? Oh, yes, they did. They were honored by being the oracle through whom God would preserve the truth of His revelation. But the revelation was always there. The reclining woman, the symbol of purity and virginity, lying down, unable to stand, yet paradoxically portraying birth of the righteous seed in one hand and the branch, the righteous branch, you would grow up in the other hand. Immediately moving in the supporting constellations to the infant that is the desire of the ages, to the two-natured centaur in a subdecon there, to the shepherd who would guard his sheep, to the next constellation of the scales that need one able to balance, one who has the price. Confronting the scales, goes to the cross, pays the price, becomes the victim. Suddenly, the scorpion's on the scene to sting the heel, but to have the other foot of the man who wrestles with the serpent on his heart, and the one who wrestles the serpent holds him from getting the crown that he had obtained in the previous decan. Then we go on through to the centaur with the arrow to the heart of the scorpion, the eagle who pounces and brings the joy of the heart. Every sign, they're counting me down, so I've got to stop in the middle of a sentence. I just got to quit it in the middle of a sentence. For those that are watching on satellite, I'll be back next week.